I have a special guest for you guys today. It's Tribe of Unicorns Day. Who's excited?
Hey guys, I am sitting with a very old, well, no, we're not old, a very good friend of mine that I've known for a very long time. Alana, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Kendra. So excited to be here with you today.
I am so excited to talk to you. So why don't you tell us a little bit about what you are currently doing, and then I want to get into your journey to how you got there.
Sure. But I would not be remiss if I didn't say that, fun fact, Kendra and I grew up together. Yes. In a tiny little beach town in the North Shore of Long Island. And so
I jumped off your deck. That's I was right. Like 8 years old.
And luckily you landed in the pool. So
yeah. Oh my God. And we used to play Barbies like nonstop, and BoPo nail polish. You introduced me to BoPo.
That's crazy. Well, I remember us spending our lunch times in high school in the art club, drawing and painting our lives and days away. And just, it's just been such a joy to watch you come up in your career and, you know, be able to connect along the way and just see you thriving. So
yes. And same, it's been so incredible to watch your growth and literally sitting in the art room on those little metal stools and, you know, these visions of what our artist careers were going to look like. And now, you know, it's amazing to see where we are today. So I'm so excited to have you here to talk about this.
Thank you. Yeah. So I've been in the commercial real estate industry now since 2006. I started out in graphic design, marketing, advertising. And, you know, it's really been an interesting journey getting to where I am today. You know, after art school and high school, I went to college and I got a BFA in graphic design. I did a lot of painting, drawing. I didn't really know what I wanted to do. And actually, when I was at school, I also recognized that there was business classes I could take. And I really liked that business classes had information you would learn, you would take a test, and you know, that was the end of it. It wasn't so subjective, and it wasn't led or left up to interpretation. And so balancing kind of the art and science of things is definitely something in my journey and career path that has been a leading constant. I've always had this struggle with my left brain and right brain. I've always loved art and really enjoyed being creative and creating things. But then I've also really enjoyed math and understanding facts that are concrete and just sort of having a little bit more of the analytical side. So I've always kind of had this balanced struggle of where should I be? You know, where do I fit in the world? And so my first job out of college was a series of graphic design positions. I worked for Humanities, which is that environmental t-shirt company. I don't know if you remember it, but we used to do these fundraisers in high schools, and everybody would get like a t-shirt with a whale on it. And so I would design their catalog. And I also worked for a British startup company called Sirius CD Cards. And they were basically credit card shaped CD-ROMs that went into a slot loading computer drive and would take over your screen. And we did some really interesting programming around the NBA and the NFL with these like trading cards, excuse me, and Campbell's Soup and Estee Lauder, and doing these promo packages with these trading cards. And it was a lot of fun and interesting, but I just felt like I wanted to be out in front of clients. I wanted to be working more with people and helping them to interpret their needs into more of a visual strategy and programming. And that's kind of how I stumbled into real estate. I started working for an advertising agency in New York City with less than 20 people in it. All they did was focus on real estate marketing, residential, commercial, retail. And it was sort of a grassroots role. It was a small organization, and you know, I wore a lot of different hats. One of the things that we really needed to be able to do was know the different submarkets of New York City really, really well. So that we could best serve our clients with the buildings that they were marketing. And so I had to understand different restaurants, different retail stores, and what the experience was within different districts, and really understand the clientele. So I would literally be walking down the streets of Manhattan, drawing a map of the market on a piece of paper with every business and building in it. And you know, I'm in retail real estate now, and I don't think I realized it at the time, but I think I was taking stock of the consumer and just studying them, understanding, you know, what they responded to, understanding the type of person that lived in, you know, different areas. And I have to say it's kind of come in handy as I pivoted into retail real estate at Cushman & Wakefield, who was one of my clients at the time. And we just had a great synergy working together, and a marketing position opened up at the company. And so that's kind of how I've moved over into my corporate job at Cushman & Wakefield. And, you know, they're a global brokerage firm for real estate services. I've been with them for 11 years now, yeah, which is crazy milestone. And in that time, I've moved through the ranks. I focused on marketing when I was in New York. I moved up to the Americas retail platform in 2015, running marketing, communications, and PR for our retail services teams. And then the last couple of years, I've been really focused on business development and client strategy. So it's been really interesting. My career transitions have been pretty organic. One role has led to the next. I do a lot of work now with new and emerging brands on their brick and mortar strategy. And I work closely with our strategic retail consulting team to help clients understand the data, the types of data sets that they really need to be harnessing to figure out, you know, where their stores should go across the U.S., what will make them successful, what benchmarking they should be using, and help them to identify the purpose of their physical store, how it fits into their existing sales channels, because now it's not just the store, it's online, it's social media.
Right.
And there's so many different ways to sell. There's resale programs now. You know, you're seeing brands that are now taking goods that they've sold and bringing that back into their website and taking it back from the consumer and repurposing. So there's a lot of different interesting things going on in retail, helping them to find their revenue goals.
How do you feel that your creative journey or your artist journey really has helped you in is much more of a corporate space?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think I've really come to think of everything I do really at work and offline outside of work. It's like, it's all your art, you know, if you can look at it that way. I mean, I started out making physical art, but it's all art, you know, and I think the way you approach one thing or one project is the way you approach everything in life. You don't have to draw or create something to be creative and artistic. And I think it's all in your mindset and your approach. And so what I've really tried to do in a corporate setting is focus on creative problem solving, whatever problem it might be, whether it's my job or somebody else's job, if they ask me for help, being just really thoughtful and trying to take a creative approach to solving whatever the issue is, whether it's for a client or it's internally with a colleague or it's building a team. It's really figuring out how you can approach something with a fresh lens, yeah, and come up with something that's different and that's your own and unique. And being in a corporate environment, there are so many employees. You've got lots of different teams you're working with. I think it's really important to have an open and objective kind of personality and approach to working with people, and just be very interested in learning, learning what other departments do, learning where you fit in or where there's synergy. Learning who to go to for what can be daunting, because it's not that tiny, small startup that I first worked at with less than 20 people. It's, you know, thousands and thousands of people, and it's kind of figuring out how to connect those dots. But I would say, you know, just approaching it creatively has really been able to bring me success and move me along in my career.
Because I think a lot of people, when they, especially when they go to art school, like you just kind of picture like the starving artist, or, you know, and I, you're a testament to that. It doesn't actually have to be that. You can kind of craft it into whatever makes you happy, and be super successful. So, I love that you can still be the artist in the position that you're in.
Just exactly.
All of your, everything that you do.
Exactly. I think it's really, you know, the way you do one thing is the way you do everything. That's one of my main mantras, I think, that I kind of live by. And so if I have a situation or a project where things didn't go the right way, I try to backtrack it and say, okay, what did I do that maybe wasn't authentic, or where did I go wrong? And let's see, was I being my authentic creative self in that, you know, in that approach? And oftentimes maybe I rushed through something, or, you know, it just, it really goes back to how you approach something. And yeah, I just, even though I'm not necessarily, I don't know if I'd call myself an artist right now in my life, but in a way, yes, because even though I'm in this corporate job, I think the way I problem solve and the way I approach things is really, you know, it's just, it's looking at it with a creative mindset.
Absolutely. I think it's such a valuable team member to have too, because I think if you're in a corporate setting and there's people there that are used to doing things a certain way, and then somebody like you comes in and you have a completely different take on how this can be done because you're coming at it from that mindset, I think it's an extremely valuable person to have on any team. You know, I think a lot of people listening to this might be completely daunted by the idea of rising to the level in a huge company like you have. Do you have advice for someone who's maybe thinking about, you know, is especially because I feel like when you're just starting out, there's, you don't have a whole lot of vision of what your career could look like a young graphic designer. I thought I was going to work in a magazine. And that was like my only, I didn't really, or like a branding studio. But you know, what's your advice for somebody kind of looking to shift their career or direction they could go in, and not quite sure how to even achieve that?
Definitely. Well, and the same thing when I was a graphic designer, I was like, you know, this is what I thought I could do. And there's so much more. And I think if you have what I like to call a growth mindset, an open mind, you know, there's really no limit to what area of an industry or switching to an entirely different industry, you know, that you should pursue, or there's no reason to stay within one particular industry. You know, so it's having that mindset, that growth mindset. It's your skills, your strength, you know, knowing what your strengths are, they can be applied in so many different directions and ways if you have the courage to move outside of your comfort zone and pursue something new. And I would also say to trust in your abilities, because that's something that I will say I've struggled with. Especially in a big corporate environment, it's understanding those strengths, like I mentioned, and trusting in yourself and maybe not taking things quite so seriously. I've always been very serious about the work that I do and a perfectionist of sorts. And I've actually found that when I'm not striving for perfection and don't have these expectations placed upon myself of what the results need to be, sometimes the outcome can be even better.
Yeah.
So I think that's really important. And then the third thing I would say is have a mentor or find a mentor. If you join a big organization, you know, there's definitely a lot of women that, especially in commercial real estate, it has taken time for women to really, you know, build their careers in that industry. And we've seen now, especially in the last decade since I've been at Cushman & Wakefield, I've seen so many new women come into the field. So many of them just be really impressive, excel at their craft, just be really, really smart and really start to take up space in these corporate tables. And I think it's really important to say, hey, that woman embodies exactly who I want to be or what I want to become. And it is great to actually approach them. And that's something that I didn't really know I could do when I was early in my career. And I think that, you know, asking, hey, I think what you're doing is amazing. Would you mentor me? You know, would you be my mentor? Can we set up monthly calls? Can I pick your brain for 30 minutes a month and just hear about your stories, your career path? And, you know, if anything, you get a different perspective, but I think it also places some responsibility on the mentor. It certainly flatters them as well.
Right.
and then it offers, you know, just a little bit of guidance. And I've been lucky to have some amazing women bosses in my career that have kind of taken me under their wing and really took time out to teach me about valuable lessons that they learned in their career, or how to do things the way that they thought was the right way, or just kind of give me general, you know, professional acumen lessons and say, you know, this is how you approach a meeting. And, you know, especially when I was first starting out, I've been lucky. And my mentor now, who happens to be my boss, she changed industries. She was in retail for over 25 years and shifted gears recently and went into real estate. And to watch somebody change an entire industry that late in her career and just excel at it, it's really shown me firsthand that creative thinking and that mindset. And, you know, it's really shown me that in action, and that if you think that way and if you kind of believe in yourself, then you can kind of take it wherever you want to go. And so having those mentors have really helped define my path.
I love that. I love the mentor idea. I think it's important to both, especially when you're older, longer in your career, to both be a mentor and continue to be mentored. I look at all the people that helped me along the way and how many times like people would just, for no reason at all, just almost fill that role without necessarily having that title. So I've always thought it's so important to kind of give that back and help people who are kind of coming up and you know, mentoring, especially young designers. And there's so much noise out there, and helping them kind of find their way and figure out what they want and how to help them stand out and create their own personal brand so they can really be seen and do exactly what they want. And I think another really important thing is like your career doesn't have to look like the next person's. You know, you can really kind of, at least for me, when going through my life and going through the steps and the changes my career has made, it was always sort of this organic process. And when I started out, I thought like, oh, I need the office with the walls that you can write on and, you know, 40 people sitting at IMAX. And now I'm like, oh, actually none of that would have made me happy at all. And what I have right now is glorious. So, you know, I think kind of taking the idea of what you think it should be and really kind of monitoring how you feel with every step. Mm-hmm. And is this good still? And, you know, kind of following that path.
Well, and I think it's okay to make mistakes, and it's also okay to pivot and go an entirely different direction. You know, I've actually always considered myself entrepreneurial in spirit. And I think it's because of those early days of working for these startups and smaller scale companies. And here I am, it's crazy to say I've been with a corporate company for over 11 years, moving through the ranks, when I still think of myself mentally as this, you know, startup mentality, wearing a lot of different hats and doing things for myself. And now I think what's great about a corporate environment is that you don't have to do it all yourself. You've got teams and departments that do it for you, but it's understanding, knowing how to put those pieces of a solution together and then knowing who to go to. And it sounds a little simple when you think, oh, I just have to go to a big organization and connect the dots, but there's so much more to it. And also, people are always changing, especially, you know, post-COVID, we saw a lot of changes. People left jobs, people started new companies, they, you know, changed their career path. And so I think, you know, just understanding other people, who you work with and where their strengths lie and who to tap for what. I mean, that to me is a skill in and of itself, to know, you know, who's really, really good at different things.
Well, I think also what you said about not being afraid to make a mistake, you know, I don't really believe in missteps. I think everything kind of gives us more information and leads us in the direction we're supposed to go. And I also don't ever think anything is static. Like, it's always continuously changing, mm-hmm. and you're changing, and, you know, you just became a mom a couple of years ago, and, you know, I'm sure that's been a huge shift too, and probably changed different thought patterns around, you know, the way you're working or the capacity or all sorts of, I mean, that really is life changing to start.
It certainly changed my schedule around. I used to be in New York. I would start work around 9 or 10 and go until 6 or 7. And I'm just a night owl. I'm most creative in the afternoons and evenings. And that's just kind of when my juices start flowing. And now I've had to really make that shift and become a morning person, especially recently moving to the West Coast and kind of still being somewhat on New York hours. So it's been a huge shift, and recognizing you have to fit all of your workday within certain hours, where before it was a little limitless. If, you know, right. if I didn't have plans that evening, I was the one hanging out in the office. And I also think another great piece of advice is work ethic, because I've always had a strong work ethic in every job I've ever undertaken, but I think it really goes a long way. And also within a corporate environment, knowing when to toot your own horn and when it's appropriate to, you know, make sure that certain people recognize the work you've done. But, you know, I used to be in the office for, you know, working late, and people would see me. I was there burning the midnight oil. And it's changed now post COVID, and also being in a virtual environment, you know, no one's going to see you sitting at your desk at 7 o'clock in your home office, you know? So it's really more about your approach, about the FaceTime you do get now. And it's about, you know, the results you're able to generate.
Yeah. No, that's super true. I never thought about that. Like, they can't see you. How do you get seen?
And I knew people that used to hang out just to be seen working late, you know, in the hopes that maybe it would be a good move for them. But yeah, it's definitely been an interesting shift. But I will say, you know, in terms of making mistakes, I started out in graphic design, you know, understanding, you know, how to use Photoshop and InDesign, and I was okay. I mean, I'm never going to say I was amazing, you know, obviously, because I didn't stick with it. It wasn't my craft, but it led me into my next role. And it's sort of that work that led me to then work in marketing as an account executive and have a team of designers that I would have to communicate back and forth. And I was kind of that liaison between the clients and the creative designers.
Right.
And so knowing how... Brains. Exactly. Yes. So there's my left brain, right brain at work right there. And so that's where I found my balance. Yeah. And so it was having that experience to then know what it took for my teams to be able to pull together these campaigns, you know, and the work. So, you know, understanding that and then shifting from being an account executive to leading, you know, full on leading the marketing communication strategy for retail services at Cushman & Wakefield on a national level. It's just, it was the next evolution. And now here I am again, more client facing. That was a little bit more like, hey, let's define what our marketing goals are for the entire platform, and let's execute on them with the team internally. And now I'm more client facing. And again, I'm able to pivot and use that experience and knowledge to then talk to clients and say, okay, what type of story about our services are going to resonate and meet the needs of these clients? And then how do we communicate that? And for me, the challenge has been not just visually communicating, because that's something I've been doing now in my career, but verbalizing and speaking and selling. Yeah. So that's sort of been my biggest shift now, is really understanding how to sell. And that's kind of my exciting endeavor that has been just, you know, building and gaining experience there the last few years.
That is really cool. Well, I really appreciate you being on the show. Do you want to leave anybody with anything, as far if they heard nothing else, what would you want someone to get from this episode?
Well, I think, you know, having a growth mindset, being objective, being open to learning new experiences, meeting new people, and just continuing to seek out new knowledge, take every experience as a learning experience and build upon it to find, you know, where you think you fit in the world and your job and your career. And don't worry about being perfect, maybe, because that that is one of my biggest takeaways.
Love it. Thank you so much, Alana. You guys, I'm going to put Alana's links in her show notes that you can see some of the amazing things she does. And I often see you on social media talking about your clients and highlighting Cushman. And it's really cool. I love watching your growth and I applaud you. And thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you so much, Kendra. It's great to chat with you.
I want to thank Alana Loeffler for coming on the show and joining me today and inspiring all of you. I think one of the most inspirational things and why I wanted her to come on the show was knowing her for as long as I have and understanding where she started, her passion for creativity, and how she's turned that into the career that she's built today. It's just so wildly impressive. And I think a very different take on how you can be creative and the type of career you can make out of that career choice. So if you guys want to connect with Alana, you can go and find her on LinkedIn, and I will have links of hers in the show notes and you can find her unicorn page. I hope you enjoyed this episode and we'll be back soon with another one. Thanks so much, guys. Bye.